Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
Well, gentlemen, here we are. Another episode. We're getting closer and closer and closer to Olympic time. Olympic hockey, to be specific. This is what we know best. There's going to be lots of great events in the Olympics, but hockey seems to be the one we look forward to the most. And here we are this year. It's going to be different than the last few years, few Olympic years, where we actually get to say NHL players are going to be back at the Olympics. Or will they?
Well, yeah, I guess we're still waiting to hear that for sure. But Until they make that decision, the national GMs for your teams have jobs to do.
Yeah, yep. That's
so
right.
That doesn't stop.
Yeah, so like what we're looking at, Team USA, Team Canada, those are probably the two favorites. Would you agree?
I would think so.
To sort of take home the gold. I mean, I would be very interested to see if there's another team out there, Sweden, Finland, somebody like that, who's going to come in and show them up and like make and surprise everybody. But right now, it looks like the Canada and the U.S. are the two favorites to win it all. Can we talk a little bit about the teams that we have so far? I mean, it's tough to say, right? Because nothing seems to be finalized. And really, the way the Olympics work, nothing's really finalized until literally the time the Olympics starts, right? Because things can change, people get injured, stuff like that. But what do we know so far?
Well, there was six players named in, I believe it was June. And that included Crosby. Sorry, I'll say their full names just in case. Sidney Crosby,
right?
Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Braden Point, Sam Reinhart, and Cale Makar.
Right.
So that was
like the preliminary announcements. Yeah.
That was back in June. So those were the six players that are like they're guaranteed they're coming, and then they're going to build the team around those players, which, in my opinion, is a pretty darn good core to start with.
Agreed.
Would you guys have any changes from those six?
No.
I mean, I think MacKinnon and Crosby deserve to play together, period, especially after what we saw with the Four Nations. It doesn't surprise me at all that they're the preliminary guys that are invited for sure.
Right.
And this is probably the last Olympics they'll be playing at, or specifically Crosby.
Crosby, yeah. Well, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
you never know.
He said in an interview earlier, he says, maybe.
Yeah, you never know. You really don't.
Earlier in the year, I think he said that.
Hey, this is the kind of player that you look at and you determine, you give him the title of generational player for a reason. This is the guy that will play hockey for the rest of his life if given the opportunity, right? Yeah. He's probably no different than, say, Jaromir Jagr. He'll play till he's 70 years old. So now what after that preliminary announcement, have there been any other announcements for the team?
I don't believe they've announced anything because there's a deadline still for their rosters that they have to be in by.
Right.
I don't think there's been anything completely named unless somebody knows something I don't.
Nope.
I mean, there's been projections listed out there, and I'm just be kind of curious to know where you guys sit or, how in agreement we are. Interchange a player here or there to see what the kind of the
so
core
let's
would look
let's
like.
Go over the list again. It was Crosby, MacKinnon, McDavid. Who else we got?
Point.
Yeah.
Reinhart.
Okay.
And then Makar was the only defenseman named.
Yeah.
So far.
And I can agree with Makar being the initial player, initial defenseman. That they have. He's probably the best defenseman in the NHL right now, arguably alongside Quinn Hughes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then same thing, Quinn Hughes being listed to Team USA would not surprise me at all, right? But then you look at, Braden Point. I mean, I don't know. I can't see another player who I would replace him with based on his skill level, both offensively and defensively. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it seems like the right move, I think, to me.
So how do you think the roster should be constructed? That's going to be my first question to you guys. Now, do you think it needs to be similar to the Four Nations? The reason I'm saying this is at the Four Nations, they didn't take the best players.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
By a technical standpoint or points percentage or whatever Corsi numbers you want to look at, they didn't take the best team available as far as, say, offense goes. They took a well-rounded team.
Yeah.
Do you think they should go the same direction? Or do you think they, this is Olympics, every team's going to have their best on best, so to speak. What direction would you guys go?
If it ain't broke, you don't need to fix it. That's kind of my mindset. A lot of players that were there at the Four Nations should probably be on the Olympic team. My Olympic team's probably got some slightly different players that are already being named out there, but guys like Sam Bennett and Reinhardt that were questionable, I guess, maybe at the time to be on the Four Nations. I think they've earned their spot.
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, it honestly, there's a couple of factors that come into play for me. It's how many games are they going to play, right? So yeah. Longevity, when you compare it to the Four Nations was a very short tournament, whereas the Olympics is a little longer, right? You've got a few more games you got to play. There's exhibition style games, and then you've actually got the tournament itself.
I think you can potentially play up to 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
if you go to the gold medal, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it really depends, because you're not gonna want to have the entire best players, quote unquote best players, because it's not gonna be like an all-star game, right? You're gonna need that well-rounded team to be able to defend well, to be able to, you know, make the right plays at the right time and play with the right people. I think that's one of the sort of benefits of that they had in the Four Nations. By having that well-rounded team, they were able to, you know, stop USA from scoring the most important goal and be able to come back and score it yourself. I think it just really depends on who's coaching and things like that too. So, yeah.
I'd love to revisit this once the rosters are sort of finalized,
yeah,
and then maybe do a comparison,
yeah,
like especially against probably Team USA. But do you think with your potential rosters that you guys have that we're going to, I'm sure, go over here, do you think that one team or the other, as a quick little comparison, is better at one thing or the other? Like, does the U.S. have everything, or are they stronger at goaltending, where Canada may have an edge on offense? Or do you guys see any parity there?
Can we go over the USA's listed core players?
I mean,
I know Quinn Hughes was listed, but I know Quinn Hughes was listed. I mean, obviously, when you look at have they announced a goalie yet for Canada?
No,
not yet.
There's
right?
potential, right?
Yes. Do you think Binnington is their goalie?
The Olympics. After having seen him in the Four Nations, like, he's not having a great season, obviously, this year.
Yeah.
But John Cooper trusted him, so you know, I kind of trust John Cooper,
yeah,
considering the type of coach that he is. I think a guy like Montembeau maybe,
yeah,
needs to be switched out, and you bring in guys like Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson.
I was thinking Logan Thompson. That's the guy I had in mind, and that's the guy I had in mind for the Four Nations as well.
Yeah.
But you know, for Binnington to be able to actually do the job and get the gold, I think, you know, good on him. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there's going to be lots of competition, especially this year too, because like, yeah, some goalies are having great years. I think the USA does have Canada's they have better goalies than Canada does. I mean, you look at goalies like oh my God, I always struggle with his name in Winnipeg.
Hellebuck.
Yeah, Hellebuck. Thank you. You know, you got. I don't think Demko is going to the Olympics. He's potential. He's a good goalie. He's a great goalie. I just don't think he's played enough this year for them to be able to determine whether or not he's going to go or not. I know there was talks of him, you know, being invited to the Olympic camp or whatever, but you know, nothing's for sure, right? So I can't say Demko's the guy, but he's a good enough goalie, I think, when he's healthy, that he could do it. Every single player out there wants to play for their country. I don't care who they are.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
all want to play yep. for their country. You know, ultimately, it's a matter of who's playing. Like, yeah. who does the USA have?
So the six initial roster names were Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
Matthew and Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Quinn Hughes and Charlie McAvoy.
Okay. Oh, McAvoy. Really? Okay. But hey, McAvoy's injured right
he's
now.
He's just coming back.
I believe
the Bruins recently have taken him off LTIR.
Yeah. Nice. So they've got two defensemen, right? McAvoy's a defenseman.
They named two defensemen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
And I mean, that's...
It honestly does not surprise me at all that both Tkachuks are there. Well,
they've been battling injury too. Matthew's not
yeah.
even playing.
Yeah.
Brady's just been
just
back
come
fairly,
back.
You know,
yeah.
fairly recently.
Like literally a few days ago.
I was surprised they named McAvoy over Werenski, though, initially.
Yeah. Initially, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
there's no question he's going to be there, but...
Yeah. I think at that point they probably go, well, what does it matter? Like, if they're both going to be there, what does it matter?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. You're right. Like, they trust McAvoy more so than Wierenski to announce him that early. But yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't surprise me at all that the Kachucks are there just because of the energy they brought to the Four Nations tournament. It felt like it was their tournament more than, and it was anybody else's tournament.
Yeah.
Especially the way that documentary, that behind the scenes documentary, I forget what it's called. It's on like Prime or something.
Right.
They showed us that it felt like it was the Kachucks tournament more than it was, anything else. So for them to lose that, and then for Matthew to go on and win the Stanley Cup in the end was kind of like a weird thing to think, to see, right? That it felt it was their year last year or whatever. But yeah, it's, I think overall, Canada's feels like the better team right now when you look at it. But again, you just, I can never bet against somebody like Quinn Hughes, being that he's a Canuck. But at the same time, it's hard not to bet against somebody like, Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or, yeah.
They always seem to come best through in the big moments.
Exactly. And yeah, they're the best players in the world for a reason, right? So they find a way to win. And I think that's the thing that you can always rely on when it comes to a Canadian national team. They're always going to be able to find a way to win. And so, yeah, I love the look of the team so far. I think there's more players to be added. I think, comparing it to like the Four Nations, when they added Seth Jarvis, that was like my mind was like, why? What?
Yeah.
But he played great.
Yeah, he did.
So, when you throw that leaf on your chest, it's like,
I wish that Jarvis would have put a leaf on his chest, if I'm being honest with you. Just a different leaf.
Yeah, the blue one.
Damn,
the blue
Marlo.
One. Were we wanting to go over what we think our Olympic roster would look like?
I mean, I was kind of thinking that. Sure. I mean, like I said, we could probably have a few players that'll interchange. Yep. I believe, for the most part, a lot of the players will all be the same. But
yeah. What do you think?
Well,
what do you think?
How about we go line by line, forwards and defensemen? I think that'd be,
sure,
that'd be a fun
sure
way to do it.
Yeah, let's go for it.
I'll start if you want. My first line would look like Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid, and Mitch Marner.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that being said, okay, no, you decide your lines, yeah, I'll decide mine. Okay, okay.
Connor Bedard, just because he is having an incredible season,
yeah,
and you kind of got to go with that flow, in my opinion, and then McDavid and Marner were so good in Four Nations, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
See, for yeah, and I mean, I totally agree with you there. I just, for me, my mentality is I want Bedard and Celebrini to play on the same line.
Fair enough, yeah.
Because for me, these two guys, they come from the same place. They're both incredible generational players. It's kind of like you have to go McDavid first line, Celebrini, and I don't mean to name all my lines, but I'm thinking of these specific players. Celebrini and Bedard on another line. Then you've got, Crosby and McKinnon on another line. And it's like you've got these guys who are meant to play together,
Yeah.
Now, I think if I remember correctly, Bedard and Celebrini are both centers, aren't they?
A lot of the players are centers.
Yeah. It's kind of the problem, isn't it?
You don't necessarily have natural wingers playing.
Yeah.
It's just because a lot of the best players at forward are centers. Absolutely. For Canada. It's just kind of natural how it's going to be.
How are you, Ben?
My first line, I've got Nathan McKinnon at center, Crosby on the left, and Bedard on the right.
Nice.
I think that Bedard and Celebrini on the same line to counteract you, Joe, I think it would be a mistake just because of their inexperience.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
That would literally be the only reason for me. So I would say Crosby, McKinnon, Bedard as my top line.
And also you would want somebody who's physical to play on a line with them. If it was Bedard and Celebrini on a line, they would need to play with somebody who's a little bit physical to be able to back them up, because guys will try to take advantage, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
My second line, Marchand, Crosby, and McKinnon.
I forgot about Marchand.
Yeah. Marchand, Crosby,
McKinnon. Marchand's been playing with Crosby.
You're saying his name wrong, by the way, to the Bostonians out of there. It's Marchand.
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 Marchand. Crosby and Marchand have been playing together in Olympics for sure. Olympic kind of trials or even in the Olympics together for a while. And Crosby and MacKinnon obviously are great friends and seem to read each other on the ice well.
Call that the Maritimes line.
Yeah.
The only reason why I think Crosby belongs on the third line is because of his speed. Like, he's just getting older and you know what I mean? Like, I think you want that second line to be a faster line, just in my opinion. But I think MacKinnon definitely belongs there. I don't disagree with that at all. MacKinnon's one of the fastest players in the league.
Well, and like that's where chemistry and interchanging helps, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think him and Crosby, no doubt in my mind, will end up playing together in the end, for sure. I just don't know necessarily if it's the second line.
What's your second line?
Maybe go to me last. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, my second line, I've got Celebrini on the left, McDavid in the middle, and Mitch Marner on the right. Mitch Marner and Connor McDavid played well together at the Four Nations, and yeah. I would love to see it again. You've got McDavid, who does everything. Mitch Marner's your setup man, and Celebrini's your sniper.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think definitely one of the kids should be on. If they can't play together, I think one of them should be on the second line for sure. Probably Celebrini, because I think ultimately he might be the better of the two. Which is, you know, I don't know. It's not really saying a lot. They're both incredible players, but I just feel like maybe Celebrini has a little bit more to offer. Maybe two-way play or something, but and maybe he's better on faceoffs. I don't know, but yeah, I can see him on the second line. I'm not really being complete when I'm saying this, but I didn't actually plan this. I'll admit, I didn't plan this, so I'm kind of just going off the cuff here, but yeah. I can see Celebrini playing on a line probably with somebody like MacKinnon and maybe wing. I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, like maybe somebody like Marner. That sounds about right. That'd be a very offensive line, you know, when it comes down to it.
My third line would be Sam Bennett on the left, Shifley in the middle, and Sam Reinhart on the right.
Nice.
You got the Bennett and Reinhart obviously connection. They have been great with Florida.
Yeah.
Shifley is a fantastic faceoff guy, and I think he would complement the ruggedness of Bennett well and the scoring touch of Reinhart.
Nice. I like it. Sorta. I don't have Bennett on my Olympic roster at all.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. My third line, I've got Mashin. I got good old Elmo, or no, what's Groucho there? Groucho, not Elmo. Brad Marchand on the left. Yeah. I've got Nick Suzuki in the middle. And I've got Sam Reinhart on the right.
So this third line, I've got Crosby as the centerman. I've got Reinhart. And I've got, I guess Marchand, yeah, in this specific scenario. Because like you say, I see him playing with Crosby. I just don't see Crosby. I don't see Crosby playing in the top six. Just because of his speed in this scenario. And plus, you want to have all-around scoring in the Olympic roster. Crosby's going to be the guide to bring that bottom six, you know, into the fight, so to speak.
Yep.
And Marchand's going to help him. So, yeah, I think that'll be a damn good third line.
Yeah, I agree. So mine's probably... It's not your typical fourth line where it's ruggedness and toughness. It's a bit of experience. It's a bit of pizzazz. I have Celebrini, John Tavares as the center, and Seth Jarvis as the right winger.
You know, if you'd asked me a month ago, I'd have Johnny T in there. I think he's really tailed off, and there are two or three players in my mind above him now.
Yep.
But, yeah, like I said, if you'd asked me a month ago, I'd for sure have him in consideration.
The reason I have him with, and particularly because of Celebrini, is to have that mentor kind of player
in
John Tavares.
Yeah.
He is a great leader. He could mentor Celebrini very easily and get a compliment Jarvis very easily because Jarvis is as quick a player as he is.
Yep.
My extras are Stone and Sorelli as if you know they're interchanging players out, but that would be what I expect my fourth line to look like.
If you don't mind me going first, sure. I have Stone for sure on the fourth line. I think he's definitely playing in that role. The guy, nobody retrieves pucks better than that guy. Like, nobody.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a good playmaker, too. I do have Sorelli as well. Point is a winger, isn't he?
Not traditionally.
He's center, right? That's what I thought.
He's normally not having a great year.
So no, I still see him there, though. I do see him there. Yeah, I like Braden Point. I like him. I like him enough to be on the fourth line in this specific scenario. So I'll go with Point centering, Mark Stone, and Cirelli as well.
What I do want to say is I'm looking at some projected rosters as well as some players that, you know, could still potentially be picked. And, I mean, there's players left here. Like, I know, I think I heard you kind of joking earlier about Tom Wilson. I actually like him. I just think he's too far down on the depth chart.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind him as a player on this team for what he brings. I mean, even at 6'4", 240, he's still a great skater.
Yeah, he'll
so he can keep up.
He'll be a great guy to sit in the box for you when you need somebody to take care of. Like,
hey, the entire especially when there's like there's absolutely no fighting in IIHF, right?
I just realized I forgot to turn my light on, boys.
Oh,
there hello. We go. Hey, you can see me now.
But my fourth line is going to consist of Brandon Hagel.
Yes.
I'm actually going to go Mark Scheifele at center. Okay. I think he's having
a oh, I forgot year. About Scheifele. I never even...
A lot of people have Bo Horvat in there, too, but I just... He doesn't have the edge
for me over Scheifele. He's hurt right now, too.
Yeah.
Today, in fact.
So I've got Hagel on the left. I've got Scheifele in the middle, and I've got Braden Point on the right. I think Hagel and Point together is going to be awesome, especially for a John Cooper coach team.
Yeah.
And I just think Mark Scheifele's been too good this year. He's got to be on this roster.
I think there's going to be at least three players, in my mind, there's going to be at least three players who surprise us in terms of making the Canadian Olympic team. It's traditional. That's usually what happens. They end up, you know, they end up inviting somebody who you're just like, what? Didn't even think about that guy because he's having a good year or something like that. Or maybe they just like the way he plays. Somebody like Wilson in that scenario is a perfect example of that, right? But I don't know, man. You know, as much as we may not like Wilson as a player, he may, you know, once he throws that jersey on, he may become a completely different player.
Man, Washington's having a great year.
Yeah. You know, so who knows? Maybe they've had talks with him and they're like, this is the style we're looking for.
Yeah.
Do you think you can do that? And sure enough, he's like, yeah, man, of course I will. You know, I'll do whatever it takes to play for Team Canada.
Question is, the ice is going to be even smaller. Yeah.
So, I mean, let's get into that. That's our forward lines. We do have defense to still talk about, but we'll get into that after we talk about the players here. So what's our defense look like for you?
My top pair is probably considered the best top pair in the league, and that's Taves and Makar.
Yeah. I think consensus, right?
You that's what I got.
You cannot deny. And I mean, these guys play together in the NHL. So it's like you want players who play together, who know each other's tendencies, things like that.
Yep.
For sure.
I would agree.
Yeah. What about second pair?
Morrissey Tater, or my
me as well.
Morrissey and who?
Shea Tater.
Oh, Theodore. I thought you said Taylor.
It's pronounced Tater.
En français, well, I apologize.
It's pronounced Jose. All right. Well, so what do you got? You got Morrissey and you've got Theodore. I can agree with that for sure.
Yeah, and it was too bad with Tater, obviously, getting injured.
I think you just like saying Tater.
Tater.
Anyway.
Theodore. Teddy.
Yeah, he got hurt during the Four Nations, so he didn't really get a chance to play. Yeah,
first game, I think, wasn't
it?
Yeah. It was too bad, but this leads into my third. I was really impressed when they brought in Thomas Harley to play with Doughty, and I'm going with that as my third.
Harley and Doughty?
Harley and Doughty. I was impressed with how they played together during the Four Nations, so I think they're just as equally able once the Olympics start.
I really do think... And I don't know if this is necessarily second pair. I think more so than third pair. But I really do think they bring Petrangelo back to play for them.
I think he's injured the whole year.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is he really injured?
Season-ending?
Yeah. Like career's over?
Almost.
I stand corrected. Yeah, he actually didn't. Now that I think about it. He never played at the Four Nations, did he? Because he was hurt.
Yeah, because he was hurt. I love Petey. He's my absolute favorite defenseman in the entire league. But he's done.
Do you think they invite somebody like Colton Pareko to come back?
Well, here's why don't we transition into my picks?
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
My third pair. Speak of the it's funny because you've got guys like Travis Sanheim, Drew Doughty, Thomas Harley, Brandon Montour. Like, I would say that a couple of years ago, the Canadian, like, if you were to look at Canadian defensemen, they were pretty thin.
Yeah.
And I think things have changed a little bit. I'm actually going to go off the board a little, and my third pair is actually going to be Matthew Schaefer and Colton Pareko.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all if somebody like Schaefer gets invited to the team.
Schaefer is one of my extras as well as Ekblad.
Yeah. Ekblad could be there too, yeah. I think Schaefer's just having too good of a year. And again, he's a defenseman who does everything, which is kind of along the same lines as what the rest of their decor looks like. Everybody can do everything.
For sure.
Cale Makar, I would say, is probably a little weaker on the defensive side, but he does so much of the other things so well. Yeah. He's on the team no matter what. But every other defenseman, Theodor, Morrissey, Taves, they're all well-rounded two-way defensemen. And that's why I think Matthew Schaefer should be on there. And then I have Parayko in there over Sanheim and Doughty. It could really be any of those guys, but Parayko's my pick. He had success in the Four Nations. He can still skate. He's a big dude. I'll go with that.
Nice. I like it. I'm kind of with you. I do see Josh Morrissey there. I do see Shay Theodor.
Theodor.
I can see Matthew Schaefer as well. Actually, Matthew Schaefer has been one of the most impressive players this year.
Yeah.
So it would not surprise me at all if you see somebody like him on the team. Thomas Harley, as well as he did at the Four Nations, I think it did a boost for him as a player in general. His play as a NHL defenseman has improved because of that experience, right? The people he got to play with. And I think that's kind of the point of it, right? Like, it does something to the players to elevate their game, when you get to experience the stage at that level. I can see other, younger players too. We were talking about Matthew Schaefer. Noah Dobson is another player I can see that could potentially make it.
Borderline there too, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're a Flames fan. Mackenzie Weegar, where do you see him in terms of the...
He's not far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him. I do like that player.
I like Weegar. Just, unfortunately, he plays for a team that's not great.
Yeah. I mean, you have to look at the player, right? And I think that's the problem with when it comes down to being in the position of the people who have to choose this team. You're going to invite the players that you think are capable of, playing the game at the level that they need to play the game at. It's tough when they play on a bad team, right? Yeah. But he's capable of putting himself in that position. Absolutely. Right? Is that somebody you could see possibly being invited?
Yeah, probably to the, like, the camp or to the invite. Whether he makes it, it's hard to say.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What I will say on that as well, excuse me, some of these guys are unfortunately going to be at a bit of a disadvantage because John Cooper is definitely going to want to go lefty, left-handed, righty, right-handed.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
That's just the way it's going to be. And unfortunately, there might be a couple of guys that don't make it literally for that reason.
There are certain players that do make it that you're thinking this guy does not deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And one of the strong contenders, quote unquote, that Google has specifically is on the defense is Evan Bouchard.
No.
Yeah, never.
Believe it or not, they've got him as a strong contender.
Yeah, just like strong Stu contender. Skinner, right?
He's gonna
take over and goal.
It would surprise me big time if he got invited to the team.
They need more than slap shots.
Here's the thing. I know Bouchard, like, Oilers fans love the guy, and I don't get it.
I don't know. I know a couple Oilers fans aren't
I know a lot of that don't like him, too. Yeah, 100%. It's frustrating because you're like, there was a moment, I want to say 2024, it was the year that Vancouver played Edmonton in the playoffs. I think it was 24. Where they were trying to say that Bouchard was a better defenseman than Quinn Hughes.
Oh, my
God. That he was up there with Quinn Hughes and Makar and all these guys.
Oh, my God.
Because he scored goals, right? But anyway, needless to say, no, I don't see that happening. Let's talk a little bit about the ice surface specifically here.
What about goalies?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Goalies, yeah. Okay. Now.
Goalie.
Mole. There are what, three potential?
Three.
Three potential that they've kind of talked about, correct?
Yes.
Let's talk about those goalies.
Based upon Four Nations, are we in agreement, I guess, for Binnington to be a starter again?
I think so. I have him there. Yes.
I'm not, believe it or not. I don't think he should be. I don't think he's the best choice. I don't think he's the worst choice by any means. I didn't want him for Four Nations because I didn't think he was the good enough goalie, and he surprised me.
I agreed with you there.
Yeah.
I also agreed with that.
But, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't belong. What I mean to say is I think Aiden Hill's a better goalie than he is. I think, you know, Logan Thompson is probably the guy that I can see being the starter. Sam Montembeau, like you said, I think there's other choices that are better goalies. John Cooper obviously does what he wants to do. So if he thinks that Bennington's the better goalie, then hey, great. But it's a longer series than what he had in the Four Nations. So I'm hoping he does make the smarter decision in this case.
Okay. Backups for me are Hill and Thompson.
Yeah. Those are backups for you.
Yeah.
So your starter is Bennington.
Bennington.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Darcy Kuemper as number three.
Nice. I've always liked Darcy Kuemper. I've always thought he's a good goalie.
He's playing well in LA this year.
Every time Vancouver plays against Darcy Kuemper, it feels like they have the hardest time scoring on him.
Yeah, he's got a 915 save percentage, 2.2 GAA so far this year.
Yeah.
10-6 as his record. I think he's going to be the number three, but I have Thompson as the backup and then Kuemper as the third guy.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so there's our projected Team Canada roster. Let's talk a little bit about that ice surface now. I know it's been kind of talked about for the last couple of weeks here, but here we are. We're looking at a potential ice surface, not potential, it's definitely happening, an ice surface that's smaller than the NHL by minimal, right? Like we're talking what?
I think it's inches? It's 4 point something feet.
Feet?
Like 4.5 feet smaller in length.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that big.
Just about, so right now it's saying that it's 197 feet.
Okay.
200 feet is what the NHL ice surface is. Yeah. So I guess it's 3 feet.
Rounded up to 197 probably. What do you think about that, Paul? We're talking about 4 feet.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about it, I think, last episode that...
We touched on it. We didn't have a lot of time.
I don't think it's a big deal. Like, the fact that Bettman's, like, willing to, like... Oh, they're not going to go to the Olympics because it's too short. He was originally saying that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't happen. But
yeah. I think we saw a thing from Bill Daly, who represents the NHLPA, right? I'm right there, right? He represents the PA. He said that it didn't make a difference. The players are still going to go.
Yeah. They should go. Like that 4 feet, maybe 2 feet less on one end, 2 feet less on the other end. You're talking about probably up to just past your knees in terms of a height difference. Like, to me, that would be no reason to worry about safety and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure the players can adjust to a slightly shorter surface.
Now, would you argue that that's easier said than done when we don't play professional hockey?
Easier said than done. I mean, I can give you that.
I mean, a player, if he goes into the boards and thinks the boards are here when they're actually here, it's like, that's a different story.
Then he's kind of dumb.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I just think that there's more of a subconscious level of the way they play hockey, you know, in terms of not looking where they're going because they're too busy focused on the puck or the net or something like that, that maybe there is more potential for injury, right? Maybe there is a potential injury waiting to happen that we will see at the Four Nations tournament, or the Four Nations, the Olympics, I mean.
I'll argue against you as well, Paul. And the main reason for me is what I'll say is that I think there is a safety concern, but I don't think it should prohibit them from going.
Yeah. Right.
So that's
my standpoint as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to say they shouldn't go. What I mean to say is they should be aware of this and they should somehow find a way to overcome that to be able to play.
They're going to need to adapt.
Yeah.
But here's my safety concern. We're not talking about an NHL team playing on this ice surface. We're not talking about the Vancouver Canucks versus the LA Kings.
Yeah.
We're talking about Team Canada versus Team Sweden, Team USA versus Team Finland. These are the best and fastest and biggest and strongest players
playing for Olympic
your country
gold.
All on the same ice surface at the same time.
Yeah.
So when you have your third and fourth line, which are not your best players, right, you have four, possibly five potential lines of your best players all playing at the same time. The speed is there. The strength is there. The size is there. It's all going to be there. And that 4 feet, I think, could make a difference. Whereas I think on an average team, you don't have the amount of speed and skill level that you're going to have at this international level. And I think that should be a concern,
yeah,
but they need to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was trying to make. I wasn't trying to say they shouldn't go. I was just more meaning like they, hopefully that they've thought about this factor going into it, that the players will be more aware of when they're throwing a hit. For example, if Wilson goes, right? Wilson is the one that caused this major injury to Philip Hedel for Vancouver because it was a hit in open ice. Philip Hedel happened to look away for a second and boom, he's gone, right? That kind of thing, you're obviously you'll be closer to the boards in a position like that. You may not know that the boards are that close. You might think, oh, if he hits me, I might have some room to go into the boards. You have less room to go into the boards now. Like those kind of things, right? Like it's just there's so much potential for injury that I hope it doesn't happen. Like I really do. It's unfortunate that it had to come to that, yeah. is the point I'm trying to make.
To me, that I have to argue against it too because it lends credence to me that the players are not. I understand going off the field, but that they're not knowledgeable enough to be paying attention to that either. I understand that, again, the boards are, you know, the idea of hits, the idea of, like I said, you're kind of not having to pay attention to where things are going around the ice. But I don't think it should be that much of a distraction. I really don't think it should be that much of an issue for them to adapt to that. Because, again, these are players that used to play in junior leagues, which have smaller rinks and stuff too, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about international players that have played on gigantic ice compared to what the NHL is.
Yeah.
Yet this Olympics is going to be kind of NHL-sized rinks. So, again, I have to give credence to the fact that people can adjust and that really there shouldn't be a concern for injury because it's you'd have to be pretty dumb to not be able to know how wide the rink is by just having your eyes open for it.
I'm trying to word this in a way where it's like I'm not trying to argue with you, but like ultimately, like I'm not saying that they aren't aware of it. Like I know they're aware of it. Of course they are. Like they would. You're right. They would have to be stupid to not be aware of it. But at the same time, tendency is a thing that that happens subconsciously, right? Like I use the analogy when we were discussing it, you know, off camera that I was saying, you know, imagine you're walking up a flight of stairs and all of a sudden one step is an inch higher than the others. You're going to trip over that step because subconsciously your brain is like, this is where the step is. And you do that every time because it's a repetitive motion. Yeah. Hockey is repetitive. They play this game every day, right? And, you know, in an NHL rink, it's always, the boards are always where they're supposed to be. Whereas you go to this rink and you're, you know, fighting for a puck, the boards aren't going to be where they're supposed to be. They're going to be a little bit closer. And I think that's the part that I'm trying to get at. It's like, there's always that potential. Obviously they should be aware of that. They should be, but I also think that there's probably going to be injuries because of it. So hopefully it's not to anybody we care about that. I mean, I care about all the players, but I, you know, in the end, I hope we don't see any major injuries that may hurt people long-term.
At the end of the day, in my opinion of this, I don't think it should be a big deal.
You're right.
I think it needs to be looked at and considered.
But especially for future Olympics, right? Like,
but I mean, this is the same ice surface, the same size that they used in 2022. Mm. But NHL players didn't go.
That's right.
So they just haven't seen it. It's really no different if you think about it the other way around. When they go from an NHL size rink to what was usually
like an international rink,
they're wider and they're longer.
Yeah.
Well, so now you have more space. They adapt to that.
Which also throws you off, right?
Yeah. But I mean, they adapt.
You're right.
There's no reason they can't adapt to a smaller ice.
Agreed.
Yeah. I just think that there is concern about it. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's all going to be relative anyway. If you've got 4 feet from the back of the net to the boards, for the goalie as an example, even if it's 4 feet shorter, you're still going to have that same ratio. So that part I'm not concerned about. It's just the, you know, the extra stride or the two extra strides it's going to take to be offside, or, you know, the length of the compressed rink, how they make their breakouts, or, you know, the way they make their turns.
That's,
you know,
actually, that's a good point, especially when you talk about the offsides and stuff. I bet you we see more offside whistles because of it.
That could be,
and actually, I bet you we see a lot more board play as well. Like, fighting for pucks on the
which
board.
Which is going to favor the bigger teams.
Yes.
Yep.
100%. Canada and the U.S. specifically.
Yes.
Right? Which maybe that's something they're considering, right? Like the European teams are looking at going, okay, well, who's our best board battlers and, you know, who can we have go to?
I think the idea is like the bigger rink going to the smaller. That's kind of where my argument goes. Like these players that are international players that are not playing in the NHL have always had to adjust. So it should be the same for the NHL players that, again, I understand the feel for it, but
like
that'd be a problem.
Yeah, like I
think we can all
agree. Yeah, I agree.
It can't be a problem.
And you know, and that's the I was trying to also say that. Like I'm not arguing with you for the sake that I think they shouldn't go. I definitely think they should go. Like these are NHL players, they're professional hockey players, they should be able to adapt. I'm just saying like the subconscious level of things, that's the part that I'm worried about when it comes to injuries and whatnot. I just feel like it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I do think that's my prediction. I think we're going to see a lot of board play. We're going to see a lot of offsides, probably a lot of whistles in general, just for the fact that the play, especially for the first few games anyway, just for the fact that the players are getting used to the size of the rink.
Yeah.
We have got to get into the next segment, which we're going to be talking about the greatest NHL players of all time. Now, specifically, we're going to do this in pieces because it could take us three podcasts to discuss this all together, but we're going to talk specifically about the Pacific Division today. Yeah, we're going to do it down by division. Yeah. So greatest NHL players of all time, or the goats, if you will, the goats of the Pacific. Let's go, alphabetically? Anaheim? Sure,
we can do whatever you want, yeah.
How do you want to do it that way?
What I will say before we go is we're at a little bit of a disadvantage in the Pacific because there's two teams that have a combined tenure of like less than a decade.
So what we're going to do is we're going to say the current teams in the Pacific right now, okay? But you can, like, if they were at a different division previously, or obviously Seattle is an example of a team that doesn't have much history. So we'll just say the current goats, or you know, if there's another player that's not on the team anymore, you can still point them out as well. So we'll start alphabetically. We'll go with Anaheim.
Yep.
Who do you have for Anaheim?
I wish I could pick two players, but we're going off of one. Teemu Selänne, the Finnish Flash.
Yeah. You can't not pick Teemu, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. But it was hard not to.
He's the Teemu goat, right? Anyway, Teemu Selänne, 100%. I'm with you on that one. Teemu Selänne.
21 year career, 684 goals, 1400, almost 1500 points. You know, he was a beast in the playoffs.
Plus, he had a hell of a celly too.
Yeah,
that little. You know, the one where he threw his glove up and he shot it.
Yeah,
it's the best celly ever.
That was awesome.
Okay, what about you, Brando? Who do you
got? I've got Ryan Getzlaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Him and Corey Perry kind of formed a bit of a dynasty. I almost wanted to go Paul Kariya, but...
See, if I'm not picking Selänne, but I am picking Selänne. If I'm not, I'm picking Paul Kariya. That's just because I hate the other two guys.
Yeah, I definitely hate Corey Perry. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Getzlaf either. I just really respected what he did. 1,150 games, just over 1,000 points. Stanley Cup winner.
I'll pick Kevin Bieksa.
What a cop out.
Kessler.
I won't pick Kessler. I can't go on Kessler's side these days, but, no, 100% for me, it's Teemu Selänne. You can't get a better player than that guy. I can see where you're going with Getzlaf and the fact that he was the best kind of two-way center.
Yeah.
Really in the division, if not the league at one point. But he played so well specifically with Perry. It was Perry and Getzlaf the whole way.
And another player that would do everything.
Yeah.
He'd chuck him if he needed to.
Yeah.
You know, he'd
lay hits. He was a big guy.
Great on face-offs.
And actually, he chirped really well, too. he was a big mouth on the ice,
too. For a guy who has no hairline.
okay, so alphabetically, what are we looking at? Is that
Calgary Flames. As much as I want to pick Theo Fleury, I really loved the player.
Yeah.
I got to go with Lanny McDonald.
Okay.
Lanny McDonald.
He was born in Alberta, Hannah, Alberta, which is a bit south of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine when he joined the team, he was very, very excited for the fact that he's basically playing for his home province and he brought Calgary the cup.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Except I'm not picking him.
Yeah.
who do you got?
Jerome McGinley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. I got to go, Jerome. Yeah. He never won a Stanley Cup, unfortunately. But I mean, 600 plus goals in his career, countless awards and trophies. He played for how many teams?
Something like five.
One.
He played
two,
for
three,
Boston.
Four or five. Five teams. Yeah. Flames, Penguins, Bruins, Avalanche, and Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot he played for the Kings.
You know, Calgary Flames record in goals, points, games played, and he was their captain in the 04 final.
He is who I compare. So I'll never forget the day Trevor Linden retired, right? His very last game. It was against Calgary. They lost. Vancouver did. Jerome McGinley basically made the team come out and shake Trevor's hand. It was the nicest thing any player I had seen had ever done. And for me, that felt like... That was that, like, this is a real, like, genuine person, you know? And for me, like, I've never been a Calgary fan, but that's the kind of player that I can look at and go, that's the kind of player I respect, 100%. You know? So that was pretty cool. So Iginla for me, 100%.
Would anyone agree, kind of a runner up, maybe Joe Nieuwendyk?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Nieuwendyk, yeah. we've already had this conversation, but yeah, Nieuwendyk is an incredible player. Gary Roberts, you know, like a few runners up. But okay, now we're looking at what, Edmonton at this point?
Yeah. I don't know how anyone can argue the great one. most points in NHL history, most was the goals leader up until last year.
Loser.
Four Stanley Cups, you know, multiple MVP
trophies. We won't hang it on him that he's Donald Trump's best friend.
I can't not say Wayne Gretzky.
He's not going to be an English teacher anytime soon.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The whole he's talking about the whole FIFA thing, right? When he had to pronounce that guy's name. I'm not going with Gretzky in Edmonton, even though he probably is most memorable in Edmonton because of course winning the cups there, but for me, it's really hard not to pick Connor McDavid. It's really hard, right? I know that that Edmonton won all those cups with all those players, but if you think about current NHL, which is a lot, I think you could agree with me, it's a lot harder to play in the NHL today than it was back in those days. Connor McDavid is the guy in Edmonton, right?
He's been that way for a decade
now. Yeah. And so for me, I got to go with McDavid.
I also. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so alphabetically, so we got LA.
It'll be LA next.
LA. Yeah. Okay, LA. My goodness, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't think of the alphabet here.
A lot of people probably look at Gretzky for the Kings, but for me, it's Anze Kopitar.
Cool.
He's brought them multiple cups.
Yeah.
What do you say? Leader for the team.
It's hard to argue that. It's really hard to argue that, right? You're right. It's probably true when you consider what he means to the team, considering he won two cups with them. But for me, it's Gretzky.
I'm going to go Wayne the Vane Gretzky as well, just because I didn't want to pick him in Edmonton, so I picked him in LA.
That was kind of my thought, too. It's like, oh, it's too easy to pick him in Edmonton, right? But, I mean, I think we're all right in that scenario. You know what I mean? Like, those guys they're all incredible for those teams. Okay, coming after L would be...
San Jose.
Okay, what do you got for San Jose?
I'm going with Patrick Marleau is probably my top pick for San Jose. A lot of people might pick Joe Thornton, but...
Would you stop taking our picks, dude? Or at least stop taking mine.
Hey, you could have just said afterwards. But, I was a Shark all of his career up until he played for the Leafs for a couple of years. He had, I guess, been traded to Carolina, but never played for them, if I remember. They bought him out, I think.
Yeah. Who's that? Joe Thornton?
Yeah. Or, no, Patrick Marleau.
Oh, Marleau. Yeah.
But, yeah, like... 1800 game years. <career. laughs> game career. Gold medals with Team Canada in the Sochi. Or was it Sochi? No, not Sochi.
No.
2010 and 2014. I can't remember which.
14 was Sochi.
Was it Sochi?
Yep. Yeah. 2010 was Vancouver.
And yeah, like 566 goals over his career. He was a great player. And he was rugged too, which was nice about him.
I'll go Jumbo for mine. 1,500 points in 1,700 games. Never got a chance to win the Stanley Cup, but a Hall of Famer nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Jumbo.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list here because, like, I know there's other players that I'm struggling to remember their names. There was a player that played for San Jose when they first came into the league that I remember was the best player on that team, and I, for some reason, I don't see him here.
Mike Greer.
No, no. anyway, I'll have to look at it and maybe get back to you. But I think that probably Celebrini will be the best player to play for San Jose.
Yeah,
for sure. But right now, if I'm looking back, I might even argue somebody like
Owen Nolan.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say Nolan, but actually, I think Erik Karlsson, for what he brought to the team, I think he was probably one of the better players.
Yeah, Nolan's a good
because they had, yeah, I mean they never really had the guy on defense, and that's what Karlsson was supposed to be. Yeah, I think I'll go with Karlsson.
Joe Pavelski's probably
I guess
there too.
Yeah, right? Pavelski.
Yeah, I think he's more.
Well, he's a center, but
Dallas. Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah. Yeah, Marlowe as well. I think Marlowe maybe almost means more to San Jose than Joe Thornton does. Maybe. Okay, so we are down to the other S team, Seattle, the Kraken de Seattle. And of course, we don't have far to go with those guys. So
I won't go with their younger guys.
Okay.
But,
yeah, I wouldn't either.
Jared McCann kind of really stood out to me because of just how much of an influence he had for the team off the bat.
Yeah.
I could have picked someone else. I don't want to start taking anyone else's. But Jared McCann is the one that stuck out for me. He leads the team in golden points and is probably their offensive driver.
Nice. Brando?
Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, that's who I was going with.
There isn't really much choice. No. There's not a lot of... I mean,
McCann, I think overall, he's a better player than McCann. However, I think McCann is a good choice, too. You know, they don't have a lot to go off of, right, when it comes to their history. Yeah. So, yeah, really, it's those guys. I think we've done all of the California teams, correct?
Yep.
LA, yep. Anaheim, and San Jose. So now we're down to Vegas. No, actually Vancouver first.
Vancouver first.
Yeah. My alphabet is good. overall, all-time Vancouver player, I'll let you guys go first because I'm curious if you've chosen the same.
Definitely have not. I can guarantee it.
Good, good, good.
Marc Messier, of course.
Come on. Bite your tongue. That's it. The podcast is over.
For me, I enjoyed watching the Russian Rocket when I was a young lad.
a young boy.
Pavel Bure, for sure, is considered why.
I have some wonderful memories of watching Pavel play.
I know who you're going to pick, and that's why I didn't pick it, but Pavel Bure is...
I'm curious if you actually know who I'm going to pick.
Well, Joe wouldn't let me combine 22 and 33.
I'll let you combine them if you want to. Go for it.
Haniel City.
Yeah.
Denrick.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with a guy, to be honest. He sort of started his career for the most part with Vancouver, but ended up having an overall fantastic career, and that's Alex McGillney. Mm. Took way too freaking long to get into the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Inducted this year.
Yeah, that's right.
1,032 points in 990 games.
He played for the Leafs, too.
He did?
Yeah. No, incredible. My choice is actually number 19.
Marcus Naslund.
Naslund, that's right.
Nice. Oh. Right. I was expecting Trevor, so.
Well, Linden is right up there, of course. He means the world to Canuck fans, but Marcus Naslund means the world to us, too. And he was the first Canuck ever inducted into, well, the most recent Canucks inducted into Hall of Fame. Actually, it was Pavel Bure inducted before he was. Now that I think of it, actually, I think Bure was actually inducted before he was.
Yeah, he probably was. Because, well, his career...
It was like the year before.
His career ended sooner, too, than Lindy's.
Yeah,
so.
But Marcus Naslund, I mean, you know, you go back to the West Coast Express era, it's like the guy, he was incredible. And he was the brightest spot on a team that was so dark for so long. So it was nice to have that guy that you could cheer for and that guy that you could really, really kind of... feel good about. So for me, it was definitely him.
I have to wonder if that team could have been a championship team. And I don't mean offense to the player that centered them, but I wonder if a better center than Brendan Morrison could have elevated them that much.
There's a really, really, for Canuck fans, I don't know if even non-Canuck fans would probably appreciate it, but there's a really awesome podcast that was put out there. And it's actually like, it's really more of a series, like a docu-series called The West Coast Express. And it was done by this guy who used to be on the radio, and I forget what his name is, but it was a really, really good podcast. Talks about in depth about the West Coast Express and bringing a player like Brandon Morrison to the Canucks, who, by the way, is from Vancouver. So it's just such a good documentary. It talks a lot about Marcus Naslund and his involvement with the team and stuff too. But yeah, like just what it means, what it means to Canuck fans and what it meant to Canuck fans definitely was pretty awesome. So I think when we get to our next, I know we've got one more team to discuss, but when we get to our next episode doing this, we should probably start in your division because we're talking about my team in this division. We should go to the Leafs division next. The last team, Vegas Golden Knights, as we are quickly running out of time.
He hasn't had a long career yet, but he's kind of trumped Austin Matthews right now in terms of Stanley Cups. So for me, it's Jack Eichel.
Hmm.
I have Jack Eichel as my pick, too. Again, it's kind of, you're not really spoiled for choice as far as, you know, like legacy goes with the team being fairly new, less than 10 years old. So, but Jack Eichel will be who I pick as well.
I actually went kind of more on the wing side of things, and that's Mark Stone. I mean, as important, if not more so, when it comes to retrieval and, you know, the thing that he's best known for, which is basically going to get the puck and making plays. Mark Stone is definitely, in my opinion, one of the better Vegas Golden Knights. Incredible, you know, legacy that they have, being a team that's only, what, like 8 years old, 7 years old?
Yeah, 2017, I think,
was the first year. It's incredible when you think about it. And it made me mad, being a fan of another Pacific Division team, that they could just come into the league and win a Stanley Cup. But here we are. So, you know, they obviously did the right thing, keeping the players they kept and trading for the right players and things like that. But it's, you know, it's tough when you watch that happen and you're in the same division as them. So for me, that's where I look at it. They've had some good players on their team.
Two players I found that were really great, influential starts for the team when they first came into the league, and the fact that they made the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season. James Neal and William Karlsson were big contributors to that.
Yeah, William Karlsson was like, for me, that was like, where did he come from, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know he wasn't much. I think it was it Minnesota that he came from, something like that?
It was Columbus. William Karlsson. Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Columbus.
That's right. And he wasn't much of a player in Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Comes to Vegas and he's like, well, okay, fine. You want to light a fire under me? I'll play and I'll win.
His one and only 40 goal season so far was that first year. I thought he had 41, but it looks like he had 43.
Yeah. Nice.
And he played all 82 games.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So that is our list of the greatest of all time, the GOATs of the Pacific Division. We will get into another division in a future episode. I'm curious what you guys think is your GOATs of the Pacific Division specifically. So please reach out to us. Let us know on our social media. We're available at The Puck and Pod. And you can find us anywhere on X, formerly Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can also comment down below on YouTube if you're watching this video on YouTube, or, you know, email into Rogers TV and let them know to let us know if you're watching on Rogers TV as well. Gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode. It flew by.
It flew by. Hockey, man.
That's what happens when we talk about hockey, whether it's Olympics, whether it's, you know, the greatest of all time. Here's where we are. So thank you guys very much.
In Fodunk, Manitoba. I like
that. Thank you so much for watching. That's going to do it for this episode. Once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next one.